Once again, we're delighted to be in God's house, and we bid you a very warm word of welcome. We're here to worship the Lord, and as we do so, we're turning to the hymn 514, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We bore the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. They say that today is the official anniversary of COVID-19, 1 year on. And someone was reminding me tonight, just as we came in, that 1 year ago they said they were hoping in 2 weeks that the curve would go down. And here we are a year later, and we're still laboring under many different restrictions. But we're glad we're here, and churches are opened, and we're in business with God in the house of God this evening. I'm going to bow together in prayer. Seek the face of God. Most of you will know that our brother Willie Buick took very seriously ill on Tuesday morning. And we're now 2 days on, and he's still very seriously ill in hospital. Took a severe stroke, a bleed on the brain. And the family's just waiting and praying, hoping. And we want you to continue to remember Willie. Just indicating to one of the family members today, we need to get to the place where we say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And we know what our will is, we know what our desire is, and what the family desire. We look to the Lord for his perfect will in these days. Let us pray. Father, we thank thee that there is a place that thy people can meet with the Lord. Thou hast given to us the avenue of prayer. Thou hast opened a door right into the holiest of all. We can go beyond the rent veil and appear in the immediate presence of God. And we can do that because we have a mediator. We have a Savior on high, the blessed Jesus, through whose name we come, upon whose merits we stand. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt accept us now through thy dearly beloved Son, that thou wilt receive us on the grounds of redemption, that thine ear will be opened to our cry, that God will be pleased, the infinite, eternal, and holy God, to bend over this gathering of people as we assemble here in the dear name of your Son, with the sole desire, first and foremost, to meet with God. And Lord, we would count this meeting empty if that did not happen. It's a pleasure to meet with one another. We value the fellowship of the saints, the bond that there is between the members of Christ's body, his mystical body here on earth. We thank thee that we can draw near in this time together to the Lord, and we can feel that unity of spirit and heart as we do so. But Lord, if we don't meet with thee, and we don't sense in our hearts the presence of God, nor hear from him, hear your voice tonight, well, then it's vain. And so, Lord, take away everything that would stop that happening. Every barrier, every obstacle, anything that would come between us and God just now, namely our sins, take them away. We would pray in the words of the hymn writer, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. By thine atoning blood, O make me clean. Prepare our hearts even that little bit more now in prayer for all that will happen tonight. We thank thee that we have the opportunity to study the Bible together. You have sent your word. You have given the scriptures of truth. We have it in its entirety. All the books of the Bible miraculously, wonderfully, not only brought together, but preserved all these centuries later. And we have it in our mother tongue, and we have a good translation that's dependable. And Lord, we can say as we open the Bible, this is God's book, it's God's word, it's God's message to this world. First and foremost, the fallen sinners, how we can be reconciled to God. And those who have come to the house of the Lord tonight, we praise thee for reconciliation and redemption. We thank thee for that day when you saved us and you brought us to Christ. And now this book is our guide in a dark world to instruct us. Help us, Lord, to be found in it, gleaning from it every day, meditating upon the wonderful truths and doctrines that you've revealed to us. Give us good understanding. Give us knowledge. Give us the ability to retain those things that we read. And as we meditate and chew it over and over again in our minds and hearts, oh, may your word do us good. May we be built up in our faith. May we be instructed well in the things of God. May we be strengthened to serve thee. And may we go out into this world with a knowledge of God to live the Christian life victoriously. We pray that you'll remember this people and the congregation, the wider family of the congregation tonight. Some are not able to meet with us. Be with them, Lord. Some are perhaps listening in on sermon audio or Facebook, not only from our own church, but out there, various parts. Lord, make this time a blessing for them too. May they feel the benefit of being part of the Hebron Fellowship tonight. Lord, remember your servant Willie Buick. Let us know what befell him this week, what transpired overnight so quickly, suddenly, and the illness that has come into his life. And Lord, lying there now in a hospital bed, he needs thee. And we do pray earnestly for your touch in his life. We pray that you will be pleased to mend his body, to strengthen him in his bed of sickness. We pray for that overwhelming sense of God's nearness. Lord, you are a present help in trouble. May Willie prove that. May he know it in his heart. We pray that you'll surround his bed, therefore, with the wonderful presence of God and make thyself known and encourage him in the knowledge that he has, the wonderful promises of your word. We pray that you'll bring them to mind and apply them to his heart to do him good. And we remember his family as well as they wait upon the Lord to see what the Lord is going to do. We pray that thou wilt bear them up in the arms of grace and love. Lord, remember so many that are laid aside. Indeed, through our land, we have sick folks belonging to our churches. We have sorrowing families. We hear of those that have passed on from other sister congregations, even this week. And Lord, you know the families that are grieving their passing, and we want to somehow just share with them, even here for a moment or two at the throne of grace, with those that are grieving. We thank thee that there is a great heavenly high priest who enters into their feelings, one who draws graciously near to wipe away our tears in the midst of our grief. His name is Jesus, and he understands more than any. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so we pray that thou wilt minister to the needs of the sorrowing. Continue with us now, Lord, in this meeting. We hand it over to thee in its entirety. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon this gathering, upon this preacher. Do us good tonight. May we feel the benefit of being in the house of God. May we feel the burden and the challenge of your word. We pray that you will rightly prepare us for the throne of grace as we come later to pray. And, oh God, you know every family here, and you know every burden that's carried. You know every circumstance that we're passing through. And we're so glad that we have a God that is over all, who sits upon the eternal throne of glory. We bless thee, Lord, that all things work together for good to them that love thee. And we need to prove these things day by day and moment by moment. Hear and answer our prayers in the Savior's name. Amen. Welcome to the midweek service, to the congregation here in the church and those that are listening in at home. We remind you that tomorrow night, and want you to notice that there is a change to this announcement. It's the Youth Council Youth Rally. It's at 8 o'clock. It will be in the Facebook link that you have been sent, young people. The report will be from Chris Killen. The singer will be Matthew McGill. And the speaker, the newly elected President of the Youth Council, the Reverend Paul Foster. We want the church to be in prayer for this meeting. We want our young people, obviously, to listen in and be part of it. We remind you of the prayer meeting on Zoom this coming Lord's Day at 8 o'clock. Sunday school, 10:30. The Bible class also at 10:30. The worship service at 12 noon. And the gospel meeting then at 7 p.m. The prayer time, because we're now back at church, is at 5:30. Could I mention Tuesday the 16th of March, there's a media team training night. We've got all the new equipment now, and there is a special training night when we will be able to receive a man from the BBC. He works very closely with Let the Bible Speak, but he will have lots of things to say that I'm sure will help the team, will help me. I'm looking forward to it. And our brother Philip Irwin who did the installation will be there to just introduce briefly the new equipment to you. So that's at 7:30 on the 16th. That's the 16th of March. Thank you again for your tithes and offerings for the work of God. I did mention on Sunday, if anyone is seeking for church membership, then please see me as soon as possible. All things being equal, we will be able to receive new members in, if that is the will of God, on the first Sunday of April. Can we sing again, "I want, dear Lord, a heart that's true and clean, a sunlit heart with not a cloud between, a heart like thine, a heart divine, a heart as white as snow, and me, dear Lord, a heart like this bestow." And just as we're coming to sing this hymn, could I remind you that the Vision magazine's there, the Current is there, the most recent edition, and I see there's still copies of the former edition. And you pay for these, you subscribe to them, so make sure you get your copy. And the latest edition of Let the Bible Speak, it's the first item on the table coming through there. So if you didn't get it tonight, please take it on the Lord's Day when you return to God's house. And there are still a few free will envelopes that are left. If you didn't get yours, and you normally do, they're also there at the door. Amen. Just keeping our seats. Let's turn in the Word of God to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. We'll begin our reading at verse 1, reading through to the 10th verse. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they led daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. May God bless his word, and may something happen unto you tonight, even as we consider God's word, that will fill us with encouragement, blessing, and challenge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for this marvelous work of God's grace and this miracle that has been wrought here in this chapter. Thank thee for the detail. The Holy Ghost has given the detail, every word, that we might contemplate these verses, meditate upon them, think about what happened here, seek to give some kind of application to our own day. And Lord, we want to bring ourselves before thee now with an honest heart. Here's your word. We've read it. We're going to study it for a little time. We give our hearts to thee. Speak to us. Lord, we pray that we will hear the voice of God. That's so important. Come into your house, opening your word. Bowed now at your throne, we want to hear what God is saying to us personally. And so, Lord, we need the teacher, the blessed comforter. Oh, Holy Spirit, fall upon this people. Baptize this preacher with power from on high. Do us good tonight in the word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to put a title on the message tonight, very simply, the heartfelt compassion of Peter and John. I think that's what we've read about in these verses, the 10 verses of Acts chapter 3. Now, you know what happened in the previous chapter on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost came in fulfillment to the promise of God and also in fulfillment to the prayers of God's people, the fervent prayers that were made. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon that people who were united in love. For they were all in one accord, in one place. And that one place that the Bible refers to was the place of fellowship at the prayer meeting, just like tonight. We read of a sudden coming of what sounded like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where God's praying people were assembled together, where they were sitting. And we read of how the Spirit of God filled the people at the prayer meeting with a mighty endowment of power from on high. For the Word of God says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you would expect to see some wonderful fruits in the lives of men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God. If what we read happened, and it did happen, there was this rushing mighty wind, the people were filled with the Spirit of God, then there's going to be something by way of tangible evidence that these people have been filled with God's power. And of course, you want to read what follows, and you'll see that there were tangible evidences of what God did in their lives. For one thing, there was powerful preaching. Chapter 2, verse 14 onwards, tells us of Peter standing up amidst the rest of the apostles, and the other apostles were preaching too, but the sermon of Peter is summarized, and he preaches with tremendous power. There were also multiple conversions through the sermon that was preached. And in verse 41, I think it is, we read about the 3,000 that were converted. And then in the last verse of chapter 2, we read about people being added daily to the church, such as were being saved. There was steadfast progress. It's definitely a sign of the Spirit of God at work. In verse 42 of that chapter 2, We read about the new disciples, the new converts going on with God, and they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in breaking of bread, and in prayers. We notice also that there was intense love. The Holy Spirit brings about intense love to the body of Christ. And if you want to take an example of that, chapter 2 and verses 44 and 45 tells us about all that believed, how they were together. They had all things common. And here's a very tangible evidence of the love that they had. They sold their possessions and goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. So these are some of the wonderful fruits of the outpouring of the Spirit of God: powerful preaching, multiple conversions, steadfast progress, intense love. And now when we come into the third chapter, we read about a desire for prayer and worship. The Spirit of God will always produce that in the lives of God's people. Those that are genuinely His will have a desire for prayer. They will have a desire for worship. And here we have Peter and John, and they're going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. We also have what I've called tonight this heartfelt compassion. And you read verse 2 through to verse 10, and this story that we have, and we'll come to it in a moment, of the lame man. And we see this wonderful compassion demonstrated by these two men. And then when you come to verse 11, we come back to powerful preaching again by the apostles. Now, I will not pass by verse 1 without some kind of comment. Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. They didn't go at the hour of sacrifice. That had taken place earlier. There's no more sacrifice for sins. There's no more offering up of the animal necessary. Now, these disciples knew that. They didn't need that sacrifice. Jesus Christ, upon the cross, He had offered Himself as a once and for all time sacrifice for the sins of His people. But they do go up at the hour of prayer to seek the Lord, to pray, and to preach. The great reformer John Calvin, he saw a missionary intent in this, because there's going to be crowds of people gathered. They're going to have an audience. There's a ready-made congregation to preach to. And so they'll have a great opportunity to spread the gospel abroad. The intense love is observed in chapter 2 among the members of the body of Christ. And that love that we read about in chapter 2, at the end of chapter 2, spills on over into this third chapter and is observed in these two disciples, Peter and John, and their attitude towards the lame man. My mind and my heart was drawn towards this passage while I was reading a daily devotional just last Tuesday morning. It was based actually in verse 4. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And it began with a quotation from C.H. Spurgeon. And this is what he said: "You do not love the Lord at all unless you love the souls of others." And I thought, that's a mighty statement, isn't it? It really struck a chord in my heart. You do not love the Lord at all unless you love the souls of others. And here are the comments in the daily devotional. I just want to share this with you. And I'll do it very quickly. All that the believer is and has belongs to the Lord. Paul underlined this in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. God wants our hearts. Proverbs 23, 26. He wants every faculty we possess. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. He wants them to be used in His service and for His glory. In the story of the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate, Peter exemplifies those whose every faculty is yielded to and used by the Lord. Consider how he heard the cry of a needy soul. He did not pass by like the Levite and the priest in the parable of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, but was evidently so affected by this pathetic appeal that he stopped in his course and turned aside to help. In doing so, he was following the example of the Lord himself, who, above the din of the crowd that surrounded him, heard the voice of blind Bartimaeus begging for mercy. Are our ears tuned to hear the cry of perishing sinners? Then too, Peter extended his hands towards him and lifted him up, Acts 3 and 7. Are we not also obliged as the people of God not only to hear, but to help, to be of practical assistance, to actually work, giving of time and energy and seeking to win lost souls to Christ? Let us labor as well as listen, and may our hands be active in obedience to the Lord's command. Son, go work today in my vineyard, Matthew 21:28. But why were the apostles' hands active and his hearing attentive? Surely because his heart was affected by the plight of this man. The concern, tenderness, and love that Peter had seen in the Lord were now graces produced by the Spirit of God in his own heart. May the Lord help us to listen for, labor for, and love lost souls for his glory. Now, I read this daily devotion, and my heart was stirred. And I was brought to look at this passage more closely. Here we have a man, and he's lying at the gate of the temple in all his need. He's a lame man. He had known nothing else but lameness all his life because he was lame from his mother's womb. Every single day he was carried by some kind friends, and he was set down there at the gate of God's house to do what he did every day of his life, to beg. It was for his survival, for his very life. There was no social security. There were no benefits for the sick. There were no intervention programs for the disabled back in Bible times. Sadly, his life was one of misery and shame. Begging was his business. He was positioned in the best possible place at the entrance of God's house. Surely, if anyone would show compassion, it was the religiously inclined. Had not God taught in his law the responsibility of his people towards the poor and the needy? Of course he had. And it's here that he meets with true men of God, the Lord's disciples, Peter and John, these men that are filled with the Spirit of God. Now, there's so much by way of application, especially in our treatment of others, that we want to look at tonight. Needy people, sick people, unconverted souls, there's certainly an application here. And so I want to think about this heartfelt compassion of Peter and John and seek to see tonight what's the Lord saying to us. I want you to notice, first of all, what they heard. What they heard. Look at verse 3. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. What did these disciples hear? They heard a cry of help from this dear man sitting there in the gate of the temple. He asked an alms. Almsgiving was giving to the poor, especially beggars. And it's not uncommon for beggars to ask for money. Some of you have been there. Or at least to hint in the strongest possible terms for help. When I used to visit Kenya, it wasn't an unusual practice for church leaders, and remember we're dealing with a very poor society, or possibly even an individual, to call you to the one side. Now, they may not have asked you outright for money, as some people do, but they will say, here's a need. Here's a plot of ground. We want to build a church here. We would like you to pray about it. But you knew really what they were asking, though they weren't asking outrightly. They were setting the need before you. In other places, they asked outrightly, just like this man did every day of his life. They hold out a little bowl, or maybe just their bare hands, and they're begging for food, for money to buy food, just to survive. And they speak to you. And if you're in a foreign land, you maybe don't understand the language, but it doesn't matter if you don't understand their language, because you see that the gestures are just the same. And it's very easy to interpret what they're wanting, what they're asking for. Jonathan, of course, we were in Nepal a few years back, and we met many people like this begging in the streets of Kathmandu. And when a lady would come to you with a little baby in her arms and an empty milk bottle, you didn't need to understand her language to know what she was asking. And the gestures of her face and the expressions, she needed milk for the child. Or if there was someone there and they were sitting at the wayside, just a child, and they were holding out their hand, you knew what they wanted. Or whenever a child, and we've had this, comes to you in McDonald's over in Romania, maybe a little Roma child, and they're walking around the people and they're doing this here, you know what they're asking for. When the poor show you their bare feet or their ragged clothes, you don't need to understand their language. They're begging. They're asking for an alms. I wonder, do we hear the cry today of the poor and the needy? Peter and John are faced with such an individual sitting here at the entrance of God's house. I wonder, do we hear them, especially the poor and the needy that are in their sin? That cry from the ungodly out there who know not the Lord. You know that cry that says, come over and help us? You know that call that comes ringing o'er the restless wave? Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light. Someone in need. And they're asking for an alms, they're asking for medicine, they're asking for food, they're asking for the glorious gospel. Whatever it is, we want to be able to identify it, and we want to be able to have ears to hear. I sometimes think of the words of the old general, General Booth, when he said, not called, did I hear you say? Not heard the call, I think you should say. Put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you go and pull sinners out of the fire of sin. Put your ear down to the burdened, agonized heart of humanity and listen to its painful wail for help. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned entreat you to go to their father's house and bid their brothers and sisters and servants and masters not to come there. And then look Christ in the face, whose mercy you have professed to obey, and tell him whether you will join heart and soul and body and circumstances in the march to publish his mercy to the world. What did they hear? They heard the cry of a poor man. And believers tonight, we need to have ears to hear the cries that are all around us, whether it's someone asking for an alms or in the great application of the gospel, some poor soul that needs Christ. May God give us ears to hear. Secondly, I want to think about what they said. Look at verse 6. Or verse 4, rather. What they saw. Verse 4. We'll come to what they said in a minute. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. They look at him. They fasten their eyes on him in all his poverty and need. And the man must have been very happy and encouraged when Peter and John stopped. And they looked at him intently. You see that in the language that is used. They fastened their eyes on him. You know, most people who want to ignore beggars are careful not to have eye contact. If you've been there, and some of you have been there, whether it's been in Nepal or Romania or even in Ballymoney, sometimes you get them down the street. If you don't want to help, if you don't want to give, if you don't want to be bothered, if you don't want to be pestered, you just don't look. You try not to have eye contact with them. Some people even cross over to the other side of the road. They see them up ahead, they cross over. The moment you allow eye contact, especially prolonged eye contact, they think they have you hooked. And you're going to hear from them, and you're maybe going to have to help them. Peter and John fastened their eyes on this lame man. The priest and the Levite, in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10, they saw the man lying by the wayside, probably unconscious. We're not sure, but it could have been. They looked at him, but both of them passed by on the other side. Theirs was not the look of pity. It was not the look of love. It was not the look of compassion. It was not the look that touched their hearts. However, the Good Samaritan, he stopped. And the record of God's word tells us that he saw, he had compassion, he went to him, he bound up his wounds, he poured in the oil and the wine, he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. Now, this was the attitude. I put it to you tonight. This was the attitude of Peter and John. They fastened their eyes on the poor man. They saw him in all his need. Dear Christian, tonight, fasten your eyes upon a fallen humanity round about us. Do not pass them by so quickly and so easily. Look upon them. See them in all their need and destitution. Look through the eyes of Christ. If I could only look through the eyes of the dear Savior, those eyes that wept when he was here upon the earth, what a difference that would make. Look through the eyes of the Savior who said, lift up your eyes and look. What they saw. Now, what they said, we have in verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. When the disciples fixed their eyes on the lame man, he probably thought he was going to receive a big gift. Because we're told here he expected to receive something from them. Well, praise God, he received much more than a monetary donation that day. Peter and John didn't have money to give. But Peter had authority from Jesus Christ to heal the sick. But such as I have, give I thee. Peter had spiritual authority and power. Looking intently at the dear man, he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We may not have money to give. Some people have. And God's work cannot do without it. The home church and the foreign field are financed by the kind, generous tithes and offerings of the Lord's dear people. I may not have much finance to give, and you likewise tonight, but there is so much else that we can give. We can give what we have. We can give, as Peter spoke about here, but such as I have, give I thee. We can give our love. We can give our time. We can give our counsel and advice. We certainly can give our prayers. We can give our attendance. We can give our talents and our gifts. We can, of course, give the gospel. Because we have got knowledge and understanding and spiritual power. What did the hymn writer say in the hymn 682 that's entitled Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying? He says, if you cannot give your thousands, you can give the widow's mite, and the least you do for Jesus will be precious in his sight. The hymn writer talked about some of the things that we cannot do, perhaps. You cannot cross the oceans, cannot speak like angels, cannot preach like Paul, but he hastened to add what we can do. You can tell the love of Jesus. You can tell he died for all. With your prayers and with your bounties, you can do what God demands. You can be like faithful Aaron holding up the prophet's hands. Oh, there may be some poor, lame, bankrupt sinner that you can reach with the gospel. Oh, may it be true. It may be true that you will say tonight, silver and gold have I none. Some people think that's about one of the worst things that you can say in church life. One of the most disappointing things that a church member can say, especially when a need arises. But I want to tell you this. It is far, far worse if a church never has the spiritual power to say, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's a worse situation. I see poor sinners lying in the degradation of sin's folly. Now, they attend our services. Many don't, but many do. And there they are in their hopeless and helpless state of spiritual paralysis. My dear friend, I want to be able to say, such as I have given by thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. We have the power of the gospel. We have the power to set men free. We have the power to make them see Christ in this world. I have a burden for the physical needs of others. And I think the congregation has too. When they're sick, when they hit hard times, when they're in poverty and want, when they need bread, when they need medicine, when they need clothes, when they need education. However, if this is as far as our work goes, we fall infinitely short in the help and the compassion that we ought to have. There is a far greater spiritual and eternal need. And you know that tonight, and that's the souls of men that need to be saved. One of our Bible commentators said, it is not the church's business in this world to simply make the present condition more bearable. The task of the church is to release here on earth the redemptive work of God in Christ. Such as I have, give I thee. What do I have? My friends, I have Christ. I have the gospel. I have the message that sets men free, that brings them from the downward path to the narrow way that leads to heaven. Then I want you to notice, as you look at the opening part of verse 7, what they did. Peter, it is, took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Peter stretches out his hand. It is one thing to say, rise up and walk, but it was also a necessary thing to boldly take the man's hand and lift him to his feet. Undoubtedly, Peter was prompted by the Holy Spirit to do just that. And of course, he did it by faith, believing. We need to stretch out our hand to the poor and the needy, especially those that are ruined in sin. Peter did something physical to lift this man to his feet, and we must do likewise. Are you reaching out your hand to lift the fallen, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, to snatch them in pity, from sin in the grave? May God give us grace to reach down into hearts and into the lives of men. And then what they enjoyed. I'm not going to read all those verses, but in verse 8 through to 10, we see what these men enjoyed. There was a mighty result. There was a blessed outcome, a wonderful reward. And the man is healed, wonderfully healed. The second part of verse 7 says, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. In verse 8, he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with him into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. There he was, sitting at the beautiful gate. And if I can just borrow the language of the name here and say to you tonight, something beautiful was going to happen in this man's life. He received something better than a morsel of bread or a few coins or some sympathetic kind word. He is healed of his paralysis which had plagued him from birth. You want to try and imagine that, men and women. He had never walked, never, in his life. For years, he survived on the pity and the mercy of those who passed by. He was lifted, and he was carried to this gate where he begged every day of his life for alms. Yet into those lame ankle bones and feet came such healing strength that he leapt up and he walked. In fact, walking and leaping and praising God, a most stupendous miracle of love and grace. And so we can say it's something beautiful. The Jewish historian Josephus described this gate of the Temple Mount, on the Temple Mount, made of fine Corinthian brass, 77 feet high, with huge double doors, so beautiful that it greatly exceeded those that were only covered over with silver and gold. What we see happening here, my dear friends, it is a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful occurrence. This must have brought great joy to Peter and John as well as to the man. When something incredibly great happens, some wonder of divine grace and intervention, indeed something miraculous, only a miracle can account for it. It brings untold joy to those who have been in any way an instrument in the hand of God to see that brought about, and to the person himself who has received the blessing. Isn't this so in conversion? This is the greatest miracle of all, when a man is saved, when a man meets Christ and he gets right with God. Oh, the joy that fills his soul. And there's also the soul winner's joy. The praying people of God who have prayed for that individual, they know something of the joy. Family and friends that see the life transformed, they receive the joy. The man is healed, and the people glorify God. That's part of what these disciples enjoy, to see the people honoring God in this, because verse 9 and 10, all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. The worshippers in the temple, they knew the man. He had likely grown up in the city. Certainly he was known for his begging every day, a familiar sight at the beautiful gate. We know that he was over 40. Because chapter 4 and verse 22 says the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shown. We know that he was that age. So for over 40 years he had lived in that city. He was known by the community. And the people glorified God. And this is our desire. We want God to be praised and magnified in all that he is pleased to do through us. And if I could just add one little thought here tonight, and just say in closing what they felt. They must have felt something in their hearts. This whole episode demonstrates the love and compassion of these two disciples. The daily devotional that I mentioned to you made the comment, but why were the apostles' hands active and his hearing attentive? Surely because his heart was affected by the plight of this man the concern, tenderness, and love that Peter had seen in his Lord were now graces produced by the Spirit of God in his own heart. May the Lord help us to listen for, labor for, and love lost souls for his glory. That which Peter and John had seen in the Lord Jesus is now felt in their own hearts. And I want my heart to be affected. I want that kind of concern and tenderness and love which I see in my dear Lord to flow through me. Flowing through me, thou canst use me every day and every hour. Dear friends, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. And we noticed last week that Christ liveth in me. I want to have feelings in my heart towards others. Remember what Spurgeon said? You do not love the Lord at all unless you love the souls of others. Let's pray for that sympathetic heart. A love like thine, a love divine, may it be found in each one of us as God's people tonight for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. C.H. Spurgeon says, prayer meetings are the throbbing machinery of the church. And we're going to come to prayer just now, bow our heads. There'll be a little time when the folks on the internet can join us. And then we will have a short time of prayer together after that. But as we bow in prayer, can we remember the ministry here, the opportunities given to us, the workers and the office bearers? Can we remember our missionaries, please, before the throne of grace, and continue to remember the health service? Let's take a moment here in the building, you folks at home, just to bow before the Lord now and remember these matters. Christian, including this preacher, was filled with the Spirit of God and with this wonderful compassion that Peter and John had when they went to the temple to pray. What a mighty influence we would be in our community. As we think of the ministry here, as we think of the opportunities, as we think, Lord, of the need of people being saved. Oh God, give us a burden, give us a compassion. Help us to see through the eyes of Christ the awful plight of man. Bless the children and the youth of the church and the seniors too. Some of them, Lord, lonely and shut off, not seeing many people these days. Lord, give them grace to help in their time of need. And bless the elders and the deacons of this church, our workers, our leaders, all that they're seeking to do to uphold the work in these days. Lord, fill them with your Spirit. Then we have our missionaries scattered through the world, those that are daily upon our minds and hearts and in our prayers, and we just bear them up before thee, and we pray for their well-being, for their protection. We pray for their work, the work that you've given them to do, that you will bless them in their ministry. And Lord, remember the doctors and the nurses, and the hospital staff, those that are caring for the sick at this time. They need your protection. They need a lot of wisdom in what they do. May it be their portion for Jesus' sake. Amen. Thinking of the sick and the needy, we've mentioned to you already our brother Willie Buick. We want you very particularly to remember him tonight. And all the others here before you on this slide, please remember them. Some of them are very ill. Some of them have ongoing battles with health issues. Pray that the Lord will remember them for good. Oh God, give us a compassion for the sick and the needy of the church, in the wider family of the congregation. These names, Lord, are known to thee, and many of them have been there for months. And Lord, they need thee. They need your strength. They need courage. Fortify them. Hedge them about, Lord, in your love and your presence. We thank thee that the Lord surrounds his people. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, we thank thee the Lord is round about his people. And so we hand them over to thee, especially our brother Willie in hospital. And we often pray that you will perfect that which concerns the sick. And we do certainly remember this prayer on behalf of Willie tonight. Bear him up. Carry him through. For your honor and glory. In Jesus' name. Lord, you're aware of the ongoing situation in Brazil. As they continue to battle with the virus and diseases, other diseases that have come with the flooding. Lord, remember the churches, the pastors, the leaders, those within these congregations that are seeking to reach out to the congregations, to the needy people of that community, in their various communities. Lord, make their way prosperous. Go before them. Prepare that way. Give them opportunities to share the glorious message of the gospel in the midst of difficult times. And Lord, you are opening doors and you are giving these opportunities. Give them wisdom every day. Continue to remember these orphans that receive a little bit of support every month. We thank thee for them. We thank thee for those who care for them. Even for DePanker's vision. Thank thee for the team of workers that are faithful going out every month. And as they travel, sometimes in difficult places and dangerous places, that you will be with them and protect them as they deliver the necessary food to the children. And Lord, we remember the conference starting tomorrow for the next 3 days that DePanker and his father-in-law will conduct there in India. We think of these 50, 60 pastors that are expected to attend, that you will be with the preachers as they teach them, as they instruct them, as they seek to give them the tools to do the work of God. Lord, we pray that you will be in this and you will make this 3-day conference mighty for the glory of God, for the good of the pastors, and Lord, the churches and communities where they labor. And Lord, we know there are some that DePanker has been witnessing to on a personal level. And we think of Tanmi. We pray that you'll deliver him from Hinduism and sin, bring him to Christ. We think of Sujit as well, this other man that opportunities have been given to witness unto. And Lord, we pray that DePanker will have the words and this man's heart also will be open to the gospel of Christ. Remember the ongoing opportunities in the land of Pakistan where the gospel is presented now through the Free Church in various places. We pray that you will minister your word to needy hearts. Save precious souls and build up your church there for your honor and for your glory. Thank thee too for the Reverend Ebenezer Nombre and for this new contact in the Philippines, and we pray that you'll bless him and his ministry. Think of the children of Emmanuel School also as they do their examinations this month, that you will be with these young people. And bless Noring as she seeks to oversee the work there. And remember Andy and his wife as they would seek to return in the near future. Oh God, continue just to open the doors effectually for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just mentioned to you, as we're reaching out to some of these folks in Romania, Emma sent me this picture. It's a picture of 3 of the wee children. She paid for a photographer to get this done as a wee gift for their mother, a photograph on Mother's Day. We're praying for this wee girl, Maria. Attention was drawn to her today. She's in difficult circumstances. Her mother left her. She's living with grandparents. Grandparents are not very kind towards her. They're actually trying to get rid of her, send her off to some kind of school where she can stay there and only come home at holiday time. So it's very difficult. I know Emma has a great burden for this child and would love to take her under her wing and into her home. So you just pray that God will open a door for this little girl. And we were inquiring about sending some of the clothes. There's a lot of clothes that come in over to Romania. And we hopefully have got a figure to send a pallet. I was trying to see what it would cost just to send a little box of clothes. And something has happened over the past number of months with Brexit. Don't know if any of you are shipping to Europe, but something has happened. And prices have tripled. So for a small box that maybe you could have sent for £40 or £50, it's now £150. It's the cheapest I've seen, plus VAT. So we can send a full pallet, 2 metres high, for about £250. So that definitely will be a lot better. And we do pray for the work at Deborah House. These girls have their issues every day. So please remember them. Now, we sang a hymn that we want to sing just now before we give another 10 minutes or so to prayer. That hymn, Christ Liveth in Me. The congregation was not present when we sang it. If you were at home, you've listened to this hymn. But I want you to try and sing it in the closing part of this service tonight. Once far from God and dead in sin, no light my heart could see, but in God's word the light I find. Now Christ liveth in me. It's the burden of our heart that will really be evident in us all. We preach this message, Christ liveth in me, and I trust that we will really know that every day and appreciate the hymn that we sing together now. The tune is kind of easy to get onto, I think it is, so we'll do our best. Maybe play a verse and a chorus and look at it, and then we'll attempt to sing. Thank you. you've got some appreciation for music and you can remember a tune, you'll maybe go home singing that chorus at least, Christ liveth in me. And maybe so over and over again in our minds, reminding us of what we are as God's people in this world, representing the Lord working in us, that which is pleasing, Christ living in us, and Christ being seen in us as a result. The broadcast will end now for those that are listening in on Sermon Audio and on Facebook. And we will have just a wee time of prayer together for about 10 minutes or so. So let's seek the Lord together. Thank you for joining us tonight if you've been tuned in. And we seek for blessing now at the throne of grace. Thank you.